This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When's ready. I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
My eyes stay fixed, but the picture's kind of out of focus. I cry a lot, but admit to it. Enjoying life now, but I've been through it. Sometimes I wish that I could go back. No bills, no kids, just getting towed back. I want a wife, I love women. How can I front like I don't be in love with them? A little man that I could teach. A little sand, but not the beach. I figure excess, I only bring an
excessive amount of fuss. So when I'm gone, make sure the headstone reads he did it for us. Bars. Man, I had to start with that. Rest in peace, Dave, Plug 2, True Goy. Yeah, we lost one. Definitely a big influence on me, so I had to start with that. Shout out to De La. Had to start with that. But welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I have to start by thanking you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come chill with me, listen to my random ramblings, whatever it is we do here. Some of y'all really fuck with me, and I do greatly appreciate that. Seriously, man, thank you. I've been noticing like that. I'm making progress. The needle is moving. You know, I think you may have heard this from me before, but usually the trend has been like I see some measure of, you know, success with the podcast, and then I go on one of my mental health trips, and you know, I lose the consistency. And this has been the first time that it's been like a really, I feel like, extended period of consistency for me, and I'm seeing the results. You know, y'all are rocking with me. You know, it's been I know a lot of people are pushing like the good pause charts. It's a dope thing, you know, to be able to look at. You know, they seem to focus on the indie podcaster, and so it's, you know, it's a great place, you know, to see, you know, some success and progress. And you know, and as of recording this, I think What Is TWS, you know, has hit number one in the personal journals category. Both indie and not indie, whatever they call that side of it. I think we number four in the comedy section, which is dope. And then I think I'm somewhere in the top 20 overall, which is, you know, super dope. Like, these are charts I've looked at, I want to say, for like more than a year. Like, just more than a year, just watching them every week, trying to see where I was, see if I could, you know, make the leap into the top 10, into the top five. I get that number one spot, and thanks to the people like you, thanks to donate, you know, donations from viewers like you, I have been able to see the show get there, and it means a lot to me. Crazy thing is, like, I was talking to my mom about it, 'cause I tell my mom everything. She's my I want to say best friend, but that seems weird. But anyway, whatever. I talked to my mom about everything. And I was mentioning it to her, and I told her like the show was number four in the comedy category, and she was like, "Comedy?" Like, she gave me like, "Somebody thinks you're funny?" Like, it'd be the ones, like, it'd be your own people that just take shots at you like that. But yes, Mom, number four in comedy. There's humor in what I do. Some people find me amusing. Still love you though. Anyway, yeah. So that's been dope. And then like I've been on a kick. Like, I've been working, like, podcast wise like harder and more consistently than I have ever since I've been doing this for like this year so far, since the March to the Record Books and like the community that I've kind of found myself in. I know Big Smash, you know, is gang, so I guess we're gonna do that, but yeah, you know, since I found my tribe, so to speak, like, I've been grinding, you know, appearing on other people's shows, having people on my show. You know, I got the guest spots rolling. I got the Plugs I Met series, which I'm having a great time doing. And then I just got other, you know, I got other shows. I got shows coming up, not a part of the Plugs I Met, that just have, you know, some of my folks on it. And so I just been recording like nonstop. And for the first time in forever. Like, I'm ahead. Like, I got verses. I got not verses. I got episodes in the tuck. Like, I got episodes like ready to go. And that's crazy. I decided today that, you know, I was going to, I got episodes I could just, you know, put out that were pre-recorded. But I feel like I haven't spoke to y'all in so long that I wanted to do one, you know, old school style on a Sunday night before I drop it on Monday type shit. You know, we got a lot to catch up on. And also, you know, I wasn't able to do like a Dave the Dove tribute, you know, like right after he passed, because I was putting out pre-recorded content. So I'm just catching up to that today. And then, you know, March 9th, it's always a big day for me. I talk about like every year wanting to go to Brooklyn and I never make it. But I didn't want that time frame to pass without me doing something, you know, for the greatest. Biggie. This goes out to you. This goes out to you. And you. And you. Biggie. You. This goes out to you. This goes out to you. This goes out to you. And you. You, your reign on the top was short like leprechauns as I crush so-called Willie's thugs and Rapadon. Get in that ass, kick fast like Ramadan. It's the rap phenomenon. Dun dada. Fuck Papa. I ain't gonna do the whole thing. But yeah, I didn't want March 9th to pass, and I hadn't like mentioned it or done anything. So probably gonna be dropping some of the pre-recorded content in the next couple weeks. So, you know, I won't be able to drop something closer to the day. But you know, yeah, you know, hip hop is a huge influence on my life. Biggie, definitely a huge influence in my hip hop journey. And so, you know, I felt the need. I needed to do that. And that's why we had to record tonight. Also, you know, I haven't even talked to y'all about my Valentine's Day yet. And, you know, y'all really the only motherfuckers I talk to. So, got to get that off my chest. So, with that being said, let's hop into the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am. See, am I? I think I told y'all I was taking, you know, Elise out for dinner for Valentine's Day. I think that's becoming our tradition. Like, if Valentine's Day falls on a weekday, you know, I do the surprise pull up at school, you know, with a gift. And then, you know, I take her, we go have dinner and yeah, like a daddy daughter date. So that was the plan. It wasn't as much of a surprise as I think she knew I was doing it. So yeah, it wasn't a surprise, but we had a good daddy daughter time. So she likes this restaurant called Cheddar's. I'm telling this story because my daughter ran game on me. Like, I used to think that like women are taught these things, like they're like taught how to manipulate men, and now like my daughter just showing me like some of this shit is innate. Like, y'all just file from the jump. Like, it's crazy. But she likes this restaurant called Cheddar's, so I knew she wanted to go to Cheddar's. So like, all right, I'm gonna take you to Cheddar's, and I'm on a, this is a daddy daughter date situation. So it's like, man, you know, I'm on some TI, you can have whatever you like type situation. And so we drive in there, and she's already prepping me. She's gaming me, you know, for what's about to go down. You know, she's telling me that, you know, she loves the spinach dip. And I'm like, man, what fucking 7-year-old is in the spinach dip like this? But she's like, it's delicious, Dad. It's delicious. Like, she's really talking this stuff up. And then she's talking to me about, like, what she's going to order. And she's going to get the chicken pot pie. And, you know, like, she's really making it seem like, you know, this is like when she goes to Cheddar's with, you know, her, and she calls them her parents, which I'm just bringing it up because it does, like, it just sting a little bit every time she says it. She's like, yeah, when I go with my parents, and it's like, yeah, I'm your parent too. But I understand, like, I understand, but it stings. But she's telling me, you know, when she goes to Cheddar's with her parents, she gets a chicken pot pie and she gets spinach dip or whatever. So I'm like, all right, bet, you know, it is what it is. And we get there, we get situated, and we have in our little, they have like honey butter croissants, and that's like right up 7-year-old's alley. So we get those, and, you know, we order drinks. I'm trying to tell her she can have, you know, whatever she wants. I know her mom don't normally let her have like soda and stuff like that. So I'm not playing it like, you know, I know your mom wants you to have soda, but you can have soda. I order like a strawberry lemonade or something. And I'm like, well, if you want, you don't have to just get water. If you want a strawberry lemonade, if you want some iced tea, whatever, you can have it. But maybe she knew that she was already running enough game. So it was like, it was no need to push the envelope. But, you know, she just got water. We got our spinach dip. And, you know, and she's giving me shit because, like, I'm 41 and I ain't about that life. Like, I'm not a spinach dip person. If I'm an appetizer, to me, is like a treat. And if I'm thinking of, like, I'm going to treat myself and have something I enjoy, it absolutely don't have vegetables in it. But, you know, that's probably why I'm like 5'9". But whatever. So she gets her spinach dip and she's giving me shit about, like, me not really wanting to eat it. But I had a little bit because, I don't know, I got to pretend. And then, you know, we're looking at the menu to order main entrees. And I'm realizing that the chicken pot pie is not on the kids menu. Like, there's no kids menu version of the chicken pot pie. And so, you know, I'm checking back in with her, like, you know, you sure you want the chicken pot pie? Like, you know, that's what you get? And she's like, yeah, it's delicious. Like, she's talking to me about how good it is as if she has it all the time. And I'm like, all right, you know, so I'm guessing, like, this is what you do. You know, that's what you want. We're going to get you the chicken pot pie. So that's what I order. I get, you know, I get myself a steak or whatever, and, you know, food comes. And this is how I know, like, when my daughter doesn't like something. Like, the spinach dip came. I don't care what temperature the spinach dip was. It could have been on lava. Like, she's going to figure out a way to eat it and eat it as quickly as possible. She's going to blow on it, whatever you got to do. She's going to deal with the heat. You know how that crazy shit human beings do when we put something in our mouth that's burning the inside of our mouth. And we so fucking greedy that rather than spit it out, we're just going to, like, fight through the pain to eat this shit. So she'll do that kind of stuff, you know, if it's something that she wants. But she gets the chicken pot pie, she digs into it, and I think, like she taps it to her tongue, and she's like, it's too hot. And then she goes back to the spinach dip, and she's just killing the spinach dip. And they got the little thing at the table where, you know, you can play games, and she's doing that. You know, and I do the first little, you know, little jab, like, hey, you know, you want to check on that pot pie? Probably cool down, you know. And she's like, oh, okay. And she does a little quick, nah, still too hot. I'm like, all right. And mind you, like, the whole ride over, she's talking to me about this chicken pot pie. She's talking to me about this chicken in it, and it's like peas and carrots, and they add a little sweetness. She's giving it her whole Food Network Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, like, spiel. That's who she is. She's Chef Elise. That's how she get down. She's doing that. So she's describing it to me like she's had it. She knows the nuances of the flavors in it. It's all good. It's all delicious. So I'm just waiting for this moment where it's, like, cool enough. And, like, she goes in on this chicken pot pie. And shit never happened. It never fucking happened. I think, you know, toward the end of the meal, like, I finally got her to eat enough of it that I could feel justified in letting her have some dessert. Because that's the reason I'm there. I'm there for the desserts. Like, I didn't come. I could make a steak at home. Like, we had a restaurant because I want this monster cookie with the ice cream. And she's like, that's what I came there for. And I'm a girl dad, and I don't like to see her sad. So it's like, it's no way I could have ordered it and just sat there and be like, you didn't eat your chicken pot pie, so no dessert for you. So I'm just like, please, little girl, please eat enough where I can justify this. Like, just give me something. Like, do something for me. And so she ate it. She ate enough of it that, like, I used that as an excuse. It wasn't enough, but it was enough that we was going to get this cookie because I was getting the cookie anyway. And you know, and we left and got. And we packaged it all up. She said she wanted to take it home because I think, again, like, she understood that she can't, you know, like, she can't give up the rules yet. Like, she can't let me know that this was all bullshit yet. She got to see it all the way through. She got to see it all the way through. So we package it up, take it home, and I drop her off, and I'm talking to her, you know, her mom and her stepdad. And that's when I realized, no, she don't get the fucking chicken pot pie when we go to church. It's not on the kids' menu. Like, no, she doesn't get that. I think she's seen me have it or something and blah, 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 blah. But no, she don't get that. And it was like, got this little girl game the shit out of me to get this chicken pot pie. And then it didn't go the way it was supposed to go. And I just look like dumbass dad. But that's who I am. I'm dumbass dad. I'm a little gullible. And she knows that. But, you know, I'm explaining to her You know, I'm trying to start the process of explaining to her now that I'm your dad. There's nothing you could ever do that would make me stop loving you. I'm going to love you no matter what you do. But at some point, you're going to realize that as great as it is that your dad will always love you, there is something that you're going to want more than my love, and that's my trust. If I don't trust you, you know, life is going to be hard for you. And you keep running game on me to get these little chicken pot pies that you won't eat. Yeah, you know, you chipping away at that trust, little girl. I'm just saying. Anyway, but that was my Valentine's Day, and I just needed to catch y'all up on, you know, everything that went down. We're going to keep going with the Chef Elise report. I got a lot.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, I am. I was, my initial plan was not even to tell that story. Then I realized I hadn't. My initial plan was I was going to tell y'all this story about, it's a gross story about it's a poop story. But I'm going to spare you the details of the poop story. Long story short, like I said, being a parent is gross. Everything about it is gross. It never stops being gross as far as I can tell. I'm imagining, you know, as she get older, there's going to be new gross things. I know they're coming. But anyway, but the long story short on this one is, you know, we had a bathroom incident at the grocery store. And then she comes out the bathroom and, you know, I noticed something it was toward the ankle of her pants. Like, it wasn't in the ass area. Like, it was down toward her feet. And I was just like, for a minute, gullible ass, I know it ain't poop. Dad was like, is that chocolate on it? is that chocolate? And then I had to do the math real quick and be like, no, that's not chocolate. So I had to wipe. She's like walking around the grocery store with shit on her jeans. And I had to, you know, figure out a way to get through that. Get through that incident. But I will use that story to tell you this other quick story. This is a quick grocery store side note. I just need to explain to people that not all coupons are good coupons, man. Coupons will get you fucked up. So on tonight's edition of
When Being Cheap Goes Wrong.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about my coupon incident. So after the whole It Ain't Chocolate incident with Chef Elise on our last visit, before I got her this week, I decided I'm going to do the grocery shopping by myself. Like, I'll just, I not that that happens every week, but it ain't happening this week. I know it ain't happening. I'm going to go grocery shopping by myself. So, you know, one of the things we do when she goes grocery shopping with me is, you know, she has to pick out a fruit that we're going to have that weekend. She picks out a juice. And then she picks out a cereal. She knows that those are her three things she got to do when we go to the grocery store. So she ain't with me. I got to pick out the cereal. So I go to the cereal aisle. And the guy, and I'm cheap. You know, I'm not cheap. I'm frugal. Whatever. It's a bougie word for cheap. But I'm frugal. And they had a coupon for General Mills cereals. It was like buy two for $7. Some shit like that. Like, it felt like a deal. So I got the coupon. And so now I'm looking for General Mills cereals. Like, I'm a big Cinnamon Toast Crunch fan. That's General Mills. So I got one of those. And I could have went double Cinnamon Toast Crunch because Chef Elise does enjoy some Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But, you know what I'm saying? You know, you can OD on cereal. So I'm like, man, let me switch it up. And she has talked to me about her mom buying Golden Grahams. So, you know, I remember Golden Grahams. I haven't had Golden Grahams in a minute. I look on the box. It's a General Mills cereal. I say, yes, sir, we're about to complete this coupon. We're going to get Cinnamon Toast Crunch. We're going to get Golden Grahams. Put them in the box. Put them in the cart. Check out, you know, go home. So I did that early in the week. So before Elise got here on Friday, I had a moment where I was like, I'm feeling like some cereal. And I've been going extra hard on Cinnamon Toast Crunch for like a month or so now. I want to have a reminisce childhood Golden Grahams moment. And obviously, this is how General Mills is selling the cereal, because on the back of the Golden Grahams box, it's like, remember the 80s type shit. Like stuff that has nothing to do with anything a little kid these days would relate to. Like, it's got to be for grown people that remember eating this cereal to sit and look at some 80s shit on the back of the cereal box while they're eating it. So I get my bowl of Golden Grahams and I get ready. I go sit in the bed. Like, I'm going to sit in the bed and eat this cereal. Like, watch TV. Like, maybe I'll put on a cartoon. I don't know. But I'm about to do it up real big for this cereal moment. Reminisce and have a good time. When I tell you that shit was fucking disgusting, like, it was horrible. Like, that can't be what Golden Grahams have always tasted like. I know that ain't what graham crackers taste like. I feel like I've had a graham cracker recently enough. That ain't what the fuck that tastes like. And I just can't imagine I ever liked a cereal that tasted like this. Like, it just tasted burnt. It just tasted burnt. Like, you want to know what it really reminded me of? And it's another soapbox moment for me. It reminded me of, like, whiskey and, like, cognac. All that shit that, like, gets aged in, like, burnt wine barrels. And then people get on there, like, bullshitting about. Did you taste the vanilla flavor notes and the hints of cardamom? No, it don't. No, you can't, nigga. It tastes like burnt wood. Stop gaming me. Like, just be honest with yourself. It tastes like burnt wood. You ain't drinking it for the flavor. We know why you're drinking it. But that's what was going on in my mind while I'm trying to, like, choke down this Golden Grahams. Like, and I did. I ate the whole bowl. just because I'm cheap and I ain't wasting food or milk. So, I got to see it through. Got to see it all the way through. And then Elise gets here this weekend, and I tell her I got Golden Grahams, and she perks up. She seems excited. Maybe another moment where she's been gaming me about her mom buying it, you know, thinking that that's going to gas me up to be like, oh, okay, well, Golden Grahams is a cereal that's on the approved mom list, because she's been telling me that she has it. But I poured her a bowl, and it didn't go well. It didn't go well. Most of it went in the sink. Luckily, I had some Apple Jacks from a couple of visits ago, and we rocked out on those for the rest of the weekend. But yeah, man, I was trying to do the coupon thing, trying to do the right thing, just trying to save money, and now I got a box full of burnt wood chips that nobody wants.
When being cheap goes wrong.
Fuck coupons. For life. Moving on. So there were some positive daddy-daughter moments this weekend. I took Chef Elise. Let's hit it.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, I took Chef Elise to her first hibachi this weekend. And that was a big deal for me. Because I've really been on this kick where it's been bad. Where just, like, I just haven't had the energy. Like, it was a time where, like, I had activities planned every visit. And it's like, we're going to go on an adventure. We're going to go do this. We did the Field of Lights. We did the Water Lantern Festival. We did, you know, we go to trampoline parks. We do all kinds of stuff. And then just, like, I hit a point where it's just like, I'm spent. Saturdays come, and she'd be content to sit up there and watch YouTube all day, and bad dad moment, but I'd be like, okay, that's what you want to do. I'm going to check on you, make sure you got food, you know. Every once in a while, I go up there, and I just, like, sit in there and watch the videos with her, because I'm like, this is not, like, we don't see each other forever, you know. We don't see each other all the time, so we can't have a visit where she just sit up here and watch videos all day. And I let her do it. Like, we got to socialize. But no, recently I've been trying to just, like, you know, get up on Saturdays, give me a shot of matcha or something, get some energy going. And be like, man, let's get out the house and just do something. And most of the time I have no idea what we're going to do. I'm just like, man, we're just going to go somewhere. I'm going to figure it out on the fly. And I thought, like, you know, hibachi, she seems to be, like, super into Asian culture. Her words, not mine. She likes K-pop and boba tea, stuff like that. So I'm like, you know, maybe she will like this hibachi experience. And I'm proud of her because I was excited to take her because I knew what was going to happen. Like, I knew that this is, they put on the show. They flip the stuff and the egg and the onion volcano and all that kind of shit. Like, I knew they was going to put on the show and I'm excited about it. But she didn't know what was going to happen. So for her, this was new, different, and it was scary. Like, she was like, the moment we got out the car and she realized, like, this is not any of the places that we've ever been before. I think she saw a Japanese steakhouse and she kind of freaked out a little bit. But, you know, I just told her, and I have an issue with that because I had issues with food as a kid. So I never want to, like, push her and make her feel, I don't want her to feel the way I felt about food. So it was just like, hey, you know, let's go try it out. You know, you don't have to eat anything you don't like. You know, just, you know, we're just going to go do this And, you know, and you can say that you did it. So you don't never have to worry. You don't have to wonder, you know, whether or not you'd like it or not. You know, you'll know. Right? Like, let's go do it. And we did it. And I think she really enjoyed the show. You know, she was very excited about watching the guy flip stuff. And they do the whole thing where they, like, try to flip little rice nuggets in your mouth and stuff like that. And I don't know how I felt about doing it, but I did it because my daughter was there. And can't be super masculine in that moment. But she had a good time. She was brave. She tried everything. I don't think she liked. She liked the rice, the steamed rice. and that was about it. But she was brave. And I was proud of her for being brave. But that leads me to my second sidebar of the afternoon. I'm all for, like, where we are now, where everybody gets to express themselves and be yourself. I get it. I realize that there's a spectrum, and we're all on it. We're all on it. And some folks are on different ends of it, and that manifests itself in different ways. And I get it. I fucking get it. I understand, like, there's Asperger's and autism and shit that's in between and not even those type of things. But motherfuckers got to stop being weird in public. Like, it is not the time. It is not the fucking time. Like, it's not the climate. Check the room. Like, understand. Maybe that's something that you can't do. You can't read the room, you know, when you're dealing with them type of shit, them type of issues. But the world is scary these days. Like, they shooting up shit. And people is just, like, running in random places and murdering motherfuckers. And, like, I ain't cool with the weirdness in public when you, like, acting like you don't fit in society. Like, that shit, and especially when I got my daughter with me, like, I did a whole series. We go back, not a whole series, but I did, like, two episodes way back where I call it the bathroom terrorist, because it was situations that I was having places, and the first one began with this dude that came out the bathroom. That went in the bathroom, came out the bathroom, whatever. But he was just acting very weird in a fast food restaurant. And his hands were hidden the whole time. He had been in the restaurant for longer than, like, for way too long for somebody who hadn't ordered yet. And your hands is constantly hidden the whole time. Like, it was, and I just was getting super nervous. And I talked about it then, like, you know, are you supposed to just sit there and wait for something to happen because you don't want to prejudge? Or are you supposed to, like my brain, like, you know, spidey senses is tingling. My brain is supposed to register patterns. That's what we have it for, and keep us out of danger. And this shit is matching some patterns. Like, every time one of these things pops off, you hear people like, man, you know, yeah, he was a little this, or he was, you know, he was quiet. He came in and he just, like, stood in the back. Like, you hear people tell the story of, like, there was red flags, but you just can't. And I mean, I'm not trying to, sensitive topic. But anyway, at the fucking hibachi, I look over, you know, and I didn't see him come in. So I didn't know where he came from. I just look over. And I know if you've been to, like, these hibachi restaurants, like, you know, they don't seat people until there's a decent size enough group to justify, you know, having the chef come out there and do the show. The chef don't come out there and do the show for one person. And they don't even seat you, you know, over there if it's one person. If it's just one person, there's another area. And they'll make you the hibachi, but you don't get the show. But I look over, and there's a guy sitting at one of the hibachi grills by himself. You know? And he's not really smiling or interacting. He's got a hoodie on, and his hands... are hidden. He got his hands in the pockets. And you will, none of these things are illegal. None of these things are against the law. You're well within your rights to do these things. But I got my little girl that's sitting beside me, and I'm in a restaurant with somebody not where they're supposed to be, appearing socially awkward, hands hidden. Like, I'm going through it. And it's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I really supposed to wait until the shit pops off and then hope I survive it? Or am I supposed to say something? Like, see something, say something. But then you don't want to be that dude. And it was It was a little black kid. He looked like he could have been like 16, 17, and, you know, and maybe he's just antisocial. I think I eventually figured out his family was like a table over and they were having like a birthday or something. And he was probably just being an asshole teenager that don't want to participate. But my nigga, like, it ain't the time. Go sit in the car, bro. Like, just don't sit in a restaurant at a table by yourself, looking at people, not smiling with your hands hitting. This shit is not fucking cool. And I'm not trying to be, I'm trying not to be prejudiced, but well, that's the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
I sure am. But I have to say, I'm trying not to be prejudiced, but when I got my little sweet pea with me, I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. And I want to wait to see where this situation goes. And this kind of takes me to the main topic of the day. Hate thy neighbor. Because I hate my fucking neighbor. Like, I hate my neighbor. And it's starting, and my hate for my neighbor is starting to make me think that I'm racist. Now, I mean, I'll say, like, I've known that I got, like, racist thoughts or tendencies. I think up until this point, I've been able to kind of, you know, take a card from my mom and be like, I'm not racist, I'm prejudiced, because, you know, I may have preferences or there may be some prejudgments I make. And I think we all make them. That's why I play the game, like guess the ethnicity and stuff like that. So we can talk about these things and deal with them and process them. But, you know, my mom has this whole thing where she's not racist, she's prejudiced, because for her, racism is, you have to have power or you have to wish someone ill. You know, you have to feel superior and want to take something from or deny somebody something or wish harm or ill will on a person because of their ethnicity. And so I've been at least able to, like, do the mental gymnastics in my head that, like, oh, you know, I may have some prejudices because of experiences, but I'm not racist. Like, I don't wish anybody harm. But no, I wish this dude harm. I want to harm this dude. Like, I do. I choose violence. I choose violence. Like, this dude needs to know that if I run into him again, like, I want him to know. The way I'm staring at the screen that y'all can't see as I'm saying this shit, like, I want him to know. I want him to look into my eyes and understand that if I see him again, there is nothing but ill intent in me. There is nothing friendly about any interaction that we will ever have from this point forward. You caught me in a moment where I couldn't be who I wanted to be, and that is it. But other than that, there is nothing but ill intent from me when it concerns you. Matter of fact, I will be disappointed if all of this shit reaches a resolution without violence. And I'm not a violent person. I'm not. I think I'm just old enough that, like, I am tired of taking the high ground and at least one situation before I leave this earth, I want to choose violence. And this seems to be the individual. But anyway, to tell you, you know, how we got here and why it has me questioning, like, my worldview. I've lived in this apartment building, it'll be 2 years in April. And it's a small apartment complex. It's only maybe like 70 or so units. And I have a neighbor directly across the hall from me. And this dude is right next door, like right to in the apartment to my left. Those apartments have existed in the 2 years that I've been here. And I think they've been occupied for the 2 years that I've been here. And I don't interact with either of them. There are people who live in this building, and I've been here for 2 years, and I have never, ever felt aware that I have neighbors. I know I have neighbors, but I'm not aware of their existence, and I don't think they're aware of mine. I met the lady that lives across the hall, and I think I've talked to y'all on other episodes about her badass kids running around playing Ding Dong Dash or whatever. They had to send out a whole bulletin about it, about how that's a lease violation and blah, blah, blah. And me being, like, super disappointed because, you know, there's not a whole lot of black folks in this complex. And my neighbor across the hall happens to be black. And so I think it hurt me more. I'm annoyed that you got badass kids running around doing this shit, but I'm like more annoyed that they're doing it and they got to be black. Like, it's like you fucking with my reputation now. Like, why it always got to be us? Like, I just hate that shit. So now I got this person living. I don't know when they moved in. I think I became aware it was like somebody different during the whole ice storm, because I would like leave my apartment and they had started to do asshole-ish stuff. And asshole-ish to me is like people, I've been accused of being a perfectionist, and you know, my perfectionism, if that's a word, is in, I do not like when people don't follow the rules. I do not like when people don't do what I feel like they're supposed to do, you know. And there are rules here about like how you put your trash out. And, you know, you can put one bag in the trash can, you can put a bag on top of the trash can, and if you break down your boxes, you can put the boxes behind the trash can. 2 years. There are days where I have boxes that I want to put out, but I don't feel like breaking them down, and so I don't put them out. Like, I don't just put them out there and be like, they're going to take them anyway. It's not the fucking rules. Play by the rules. And I think that's when I first became aware of the people next door to me, because their trash would be out on days where trash don't get picked up. I'm like, all right, you know, maybe it'll take you a minute to learn how that shit works. And then it would be just like boxes, and they'd just be random boxes, just fucked up by, like, they didn't even break it down properly. They just like tore the boxes apart and it would like sit them outside their thing. And it's just an eyesore. Something I don't want to have to walk past as I'm walking to my apartment. And to me, that's like a sign of you not giving a fuck about anybody else, because you just putting this shit, you know, out in the hallway where everybody got to see. And then it just turned into like, it would just be a box of trash, like not in a bag, just like, you know, it seemed like they might have been young people, or just their first apartment. And then you could see like the box of knives and the box of plates, and it would just be, you know, they just ripped it out the package and just threw it in a hallway, like valet trash, come get that type situation. And so that started pissing me off. But that's lightweight. I just think that's, I chopped that up to them possibly being young and just not knowing the rules of the world. What the fuck ever. It's annoying, but I got over it. Then it's like 2:30 in the morning, and I'm up because I tend to be up. But I start to hear like bass rattling music, like super loud music. And that's not against the norm. Like, every once in a while, there'd be somebody like driving past, you know, and for some reason, people like to blast their music at 2:30 in the morning as they're driving past. I'm waiting for the sound to like go away. Like, as the car pulls off into the distance, the bass should be lowering. And it's not. And it just keeps going. It keeps going. And I look at the time and I'm like, it's 2:30. It's 3:30. I'm trying to figure out where it's coming from. You know, like, where the fuck is this sound coming from? You know, I'm going out on the patio to see if I can see the car and shit like that. Like, where is this motherfucker that I can hear this? And then it dawns on me, and it never would have dawned on me, because I've lived here for 2 years and I didn't even know it was nobody next door. Like, I knew they were there, but I didn't know they were there, because I never heard them, never seen them. It's like, now at 2:30, 3:30 in the morning, you motherfucking having a rave next door. And, you know, and I can tell, I'm a hip hop fan, I can tell from the bass line, you know what I'm saying? I could tell from the bass line, that's hip hop. Sound like trap music. I'm pretty sure it's trap music. I have that, you know, all I hear is bass. And it's like, it's so loud that it's like shaking shit in my apartment. And this goes on like 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, probably around 4:45. You know, I eventually do the norm. I do the bang on the wall like, my nigga, like, God damn, like, relax. With the fucking music. Like, you live in an apartment building. If you was doing that at 6 p.m, it'd be annoying, but whatever. I live in an apartment building. I can't expect it to be silent. But it's 4:30 in the morning. That's obnoxious. It's fucking retarded. Then, and so that starts happening like more and more frequently. And it's like, man, do I want to be that dude? I don't want to be the old man. It's like going to the property manager and blah, blah, blah. Like, yo, my neighbors. blah, blah, blah. I'm not trying to be that person. So I'm seething. I'm like, man, like, you got to know this is inappropriate behavior. And then, you know, based on the music, I'm starting to, the prejudice is coming out. I'm like, man, it got to be some young black kid. And then that's making me more mad, you know, like it's making me more mad. Then I start to, I think at first I started to smell cigarette smoke. And again, like, I don't give a fuck what you do in your apartment. I don't give a fuck what you do in your apartment. I really don't want to know that you exist. So if you smoke in there, that's whatever. But if I have to smell it, now it's a problem. You got a balcony. You got places you could go. I feel like there's ways you could do whatever it is you do and it don't impact the people around you. But if you don't care, then that's how you get down. So I started to smell cigarette smoke. I don't like that. You know, this is a non-smoking building. You're not supposed to smoke at all. I'm not on that type of time. Like, oh, he's in there smoking. It's just like, I do what you want. Just keep it out my fucking apartment. And then it switches from like cigarette smoke to weed smoke. I know what the fuck weed smell like. I know it ain't no skunks in the building. So when I smell that smell, that's not a skunk smell. Ain't nobody run over a skunk in the hallway. That's not what the fuck happened. I know exactly what the fuck is happening. And I know exactly where the fuck it's coming from. And so I'm just pissed. I'm just like super pissed because, you know, my perfectionism. I don't like when people disobey the rules. I don't like when people don't behave the way they're supposed to behave. And then I especially don't like it when I feel like you have a disregard for other people around. Like, you don't give a fuck about how what you're doing may impact people around you. You gotta listen to whatever you're listening to at 4:30 in the morning, so fuck my neighbor. You know what I'm saying? I gotta have his cigarettes. I'm not gonna go outside, or I'm not gonna whatever I need to do. I'm gonna smoke it right here. So, you know, it can go through the vents and get all. I know the other people in my building smoke weed. I see them on their balcony. I don't smell it in my apartment. Like, I don't know how much shit you smoking over there and at the times that you smoking it, but it don't have to come in here. Like, it just fucking don't have to, you know. And so the other day, so I go to dinner with my homies, Chad and Zay, and I'm so pissed off about this shit that I'm talking to them about it. And I'm talking to them about it, and I'm expressing the fact that, like, I'm pissed off because this person's an asshole. They're breaking the rules. They don't care about the people, other people in the building. They just all about themselves. And like that, the fact that I have made this assumption that they're black is upsetting me more. Like, why it always got to be us? Like, why? Oh, I've been here for 2 years. You know, these people looked at me a certain way. And maybe after 2 years where I'm just like a model citizen, I'm a good dude, I don't bother nobody, I pay my rent on time. Like, they can just ease up on how they think living around black people would be. And then this motherfucker come in here and got to fuck it up, you know, for everybody. Just can't just be a respectable motherfucker. Like, you just gotta be an asshole. So that's why I'm in that bag. Like, I'm mad. I'm just pissed. And I'm telling my homies, like, I just mad. You know, I choose violence. Like, I want to hurt this motherfucker. And so then the other night, I'm coming up. I got my daughter. We coming in from picking her up from school. And as you know, as I open the door to the hallway, you know, to where my apartment is, he's coming out of his apartment. He's not black. It's a white dude. It's a white dude. And it's like, he's got all the douchebag energy coming off of him. Like, his music playing in the apartment as he opens the door. That's just unnecessarily loud. I can see like neon lights and shit. He's on the phone having a conversation at a volume that's not appropriate. I sound like an old dude, but I am old. Fuck it. But, I think I even tried to give him like the, hey, what's up? Hi, neighbor. We haven't met. Like, nah. Like, you on the phone. I got my daughter. We don't need to have a conversation. But just so you know, I'm the person that lives next to you. So you know somebody lives next to you. Now you see the person who lives next to you. Now you see the person who lives next to you has a kid. You don't know how often she's here, but you see her today. You know she's here some of the time. So just like, what's up? Like, acknowledgement. I see you. You see me. He don't even head nod me back. So now, you know, so it's getting worse. But I get in the house and I'm thinking about it. And I text my homie Chad and I'm like, you know, that, annoying name that, you know, the annoying black guy that lives next to me that I hate so much. Yeah, it turns out he's white. And he's like, oh man. He's like, I think you might be a racist. And I had to think about it because I think the fact that he was white, like, it calmed my anger a little bit. And not in a, like, it's okay because he's white, or I can't get angry around about a white person. I ain't going to hurt him, you know, because he's white. Not in any of those ways. I still, like, choose violence. I still want to hurt him, and I'm still angry. I think it's because I have come to expect obnoxiousness in some areas from white people. Like, I have come to expect that they're not aware of the people around them or how their actions impact people around them. Like, I have started to realize that other ethnicities don't necessarily have the experience in this country that we have had, where we have to be hyper aware of our impact on the people around us. Because if we do something threatening, or even not even if we pose a threat, if we make people feel uncomfortable, if there's something about our existence in that moment that makes one of them feel uncomfortable, there can be consequences for us. And I mean, I'm not saying we always change the way we act, but we're aware. And sometimes we're like, fuck it. If that's where you want to go, let's go, you know. But a lot of times we're aware. We're always aware of, like, how we're being seen at the moment. Don't want to be the angry black woman. Don't want to be the angry black man. Don't want to be this. Don't want to be that. It's a dark sidewalk, and it's a white woman by herself. Let me cross the street so she feels safe. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think we live in that space, and the other people don't have that. And so in that moment, like, I was less upset with him because it's like, oh, he don't know no better. Like, he has no idea what it's like to have to behave properly, because anybody who thinks that you're misbehaving could come with dire consequences for you. And so I'm trying to process all this. Like, is the fact that I was more angry when I thought they were black, you know, is that the bad thing? Or less angry when I found out they were white, is that the bad thing? Or that I cared that they were white or black, that I was doing all this prejudging and everything, you know, is that the problem? Is it the fact that I was worried about this kid not showing his hands at this restaurant? Is that the problem? Or are any of these things necessary survival tactics? Like, I'm trying to figure all of this out, because I've had a couple weeks of just, like, moments where, you know, like, I know this is what one of the greatest lessons I learned, like, early in recovery, and shouts to my first sponsor, was that we are not our thoughts. Like, a lot of times we identify ourselves as our thoughts, and we feel a certain way about ourselves for thinking a certain thing or having a thought. And you know, what he explained to me is, we are not our thoughts. We are the awareness of our thoughts. Our brains are a tool. They're meant to do certain things. They're meant to, you know, recognize patterns and try to keep us safe and keep us comfortable. They're supposed to see things and see, the last time I saw that, this happened, so let me be on alert for this happening. Like, that's the way your brain is supposed to work. You know, we have the awareness of that, so we don't have to act on every one of those thoughts. We don't have to do something because you know, a thought crosses our mind. But it's probably going to happen. It's going to happen. It's almost supposed to happen. And so, like, I'm talking out loud because, you know, I'm processing the awareness of my thoughts, but I don't have to hold on to guilt for thinking that way. I did not hurt him. I did not hurt this individual. I want to. I do want to. I want to hurt this person. I am going to be disappointed in the fact that I'm absolutely not going to hurt the person. I'm not going to do it. I know me. I know the kind of person I am. I love everyone. I don't love this motherfucker, but I love most people, even when they annoy the shit out of me, which is 99.9% of y'all. I know who I am. I know I care far more about being present for my little girl. I care far more about my own freedom to risk any of that. But I do want to hurt this mother. And I have to just, like, it's okay. It's okay that I want to hurt him. It's okay. I don't, you know, have the thought, let it pass. Don't let it guide my life. Don't let it, you know, don't let it drive me crazy. But, you know, it's, I don't know. I'm just, when a white person calls you a racist and you already know you got some racist tendencies to you, you start having like introspective conversations with yourself. And that's what we're doing tonight. I'm just having an introspective conversation. And when you say something out loud, when you're trying to explain it to somebody else, that's when you hear like the bullshit in what you're trying to say. And so I'm hearing some of it. So be aware. I'm hearing some of it. You ain't got to go too crazy on me in the comments or whatever. But yeah, man, that's I hate this motherfucker. I really do. And it's just, y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me. It's not so much that I want to hurt him as much as I want him to know that I want to hurt him and that I hate him and that he should probably tread lightly around me because I hate him and I want to hurt him. God be with me. Help me. Jesus, take the wheel. I don't need to feel like that about nobody, but whatever. I don't know. Kumbaya.
You can love me or hate me, eat out all.
I'ma stay winning. Anyway, I just chopped that sound up this afternoon and I had to fit it into the episode some kind of way. But with that being said, I'm gonna let y'all get out of here. I ain't gonna hold you. Check out the merch store. What is TWS.com/store? Still hoodie season. I think people are still going through snow. So you can still use coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN, all one word. Get you 20% off your order. You can help me take Chef Elise to more hibachi spots or find better restaurants to go to. Maybe one that has chicken pot pie on the kids' menu so we get a smaller portion. Something. I don't know. But every dollar helps. but yeah, thanks for supporting me on Good Pods. If that's where you listen to podcasts, I appreciate you. I'm everywhere you listen to podcasts. Spotify, Apple, Google, Pandora, Amazon. You know, subscribe to the show if you haven't already so you don't miss when I put out new content. I got a lot of very dope content coming. The Plugs I Met series is continuing. I got at least two of those episodes already ready to go. I got some other great content with other, you know, dope podcasters. Man, yeah, shout out to Raw Sass and the All on the Table podcast, Dre Mo and the Psychopath podcast, Savagely Humble and the It's a Hard Knock Life podcast, DC and the What the Shit podcast. He just had his season ending episode and I was on that. We had a good time. They're calling me a bully all of a sudden now after I was on that show. I think I just been on I've been so kumbaya for so long that like I'm on some Hulk smash type shit. Like I need to just Hulk out and go off on some people. Shouts to Big Smash and the Bet the House podcast. CL and the Pussy Talks podcast. I was on that one a couple times in the last couple weeks. So yeah, check out all my people. It's been really dope to see just a lot and a lot of like podcasters of color doing very well recently. Shout out to my boys Quadi and Velvet Jones with the Uncomfortable Truth podcast. I hope I got that right. I feel like it's the Uncomfortable Truth. I feel like it's gotta be. It is. I know it in my heart. I feel it in my spirit. But yeah, shout out to everybody. And until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, and if you know nothing else,
you can love me or hate me, eat out all.
I'ma stay winning, and I love y'all. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.